Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Women of Golf Show. I'm your host, Ted Oderico, and I'm right alongside here every week, Tuesday morning, as a co-host, Legends Tour player, and LPGA professional, Cindy Miller. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning, Ted.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm much better. As I was just telling you off air, we got our power back here. We had a little power outage on the weekend, so I'm excited to be able to watch a little television and whatnot. But anyways, couple things here, everybody. Let me just remind you that, of course, we are live every Tuesday mornings from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the quickest way to get to us is go to blogtalkradio.com and up in the search key type Women of Golf, and you'll get there to us every Tuesday morning at 9. And for some reason, if you're not able to join us live, that's okay. Just go to the website link, blogtalkradio.com/golf, Women of Golf, excuse me. And you can scroll down in the on-demand section. The most current show will always be at the top, and you can scroll down and listen to any of the ones that you may have missed in previous weeks. And always suggest that you do so. Had some great guests here, some great young ladies recently from the Symetra Tour have been on here to talk about their wins and life on tour a little bit. So always some interesting information. Also, for those of you that are on iTunes a lot, go to iTunes.com and look in the on-demand section. In the podcast section. Boy, tongue-tied this morning. And you can type in Women of Golf as well there and download them just as easily. Also, if any time during the live broadcast, if you want to call in and speak to either Cindy or I or any of the guests on the show, you're welcome to do so at area code 347-945-5855. And you can also email any questions or comments about the program to womenofgolf@gmail.com. But if you're interested in coming on the show, you can contact Cindy at cindy@cindymillergolf.com, or you can also reach me at ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. Quick note before we start, Cindy, I want to kudos to Cindy. We had a little bit of a facelift, if you will, here on the show logo, compliments of Cindy Miller. She had that done here just in the last week, and very excited. Looks great. You did a fantastic job. Kudos to yourself and the individuals that you got involved.
Well, thank you. I thought it was time for facelift.
Yeah, it was time for. Now I'm not tired. Let's back up.
In one.
We're talking. I hear you. We're talking about the show, of course. But kudos to Cindy. Did a fantastic job, and thank you for doing that, Cindy. It was definitely needed. Great show for you today. In a few minutes, we're going to have Rachel Rahana, who is the winner of the Symetra Tour's Guardian Retirement Championship at Sarah Bay this past weekend. Excuse me. She's going to be joining us here in just a few moments. And then a little bit later on, Terry Hashimoto is the co-developer of BodyTrack Golf Pressure Map. We're going to be talking with him. And he's actually a fellow Canadian as well, so I'm excited to have another Canadian on the program from Manitoba, I believe, originally. And he's going to talk a little bit about that. But, Cindy, I wanted to, just since we have a few moments here, something that we did on my show on this past Thursday on Golf Talk Live – we did a we always do a segment called Coach's Corner, starts it off and have a panel discussion. The topic this week was, or this past week was, what is a golf instructor and or a golf coach? What's the difference, and is there a difference? And when is it appropriate to sort of have your teaching cap on, and then when is it appropriate to sort of transition to a golf coach, or is it okay to be one or the other? Your thoughts?
You know, I'm not sure. Tell me what you mean by teaching and coaching.
Okay, well, the sort of unwritten rule of a golf teacher or instructor, as commonly known, a golf instructor typically is an individual that is trained to obviously give golf lessons in group clinics. Instructors mainly concern themselves with helping golfers establish sound fundamentals, things like the grip, the stance. So they're more on the swing posture, ball position, that sort of thing, and certainly about effective swing mechanics and short game skills. So they're really there to help people learn the fundamentals of the game and give them information and feedback necessary for them to develop sort of some core competencies, if you will, to hit the ball effectively so that they can play and enjoy the sport. So that's typically what a golf instructor or teacher is. They sort of teach the core basics and fundamentals of the golf swing. A coach, on the other hand, is somebody who certainly has to be a golf instructor first. They need to understand the fundamentals and be well experienced as a golf instructor or teacher. But a golf coach is technically somebody who is trained to develop not only the fundamentals and technical skills, but who's also trained to teach and coach young aspiring golfers. And what I mean by that, Cindy, is it doesn't necessarily have to be tour players. It could be somebody at a collegiate level or even on some a golf team. And really what the coach does is teaches somebody more about the game, how to play, how to strategize, if you will, that sort of thing. That's traditionally more of what a coach does as opposed to just teaching the fundamentals. And that's essentially what the unwritten rule, if you will, of between a teacher and coach. Now, the interesting thing, Cindy, is there are some people that teach or that consider themselves one or the other. A lot of you hear a lot of people referring to themselves as a golf coach now, as opposed to a teacher. Yet they teach the fundamentals. Do you consider yourself one or the other, or do you consider yourself a little of both, depending on the circumstances?
I think we need to be able to do all of the above. I mean, the technical part of teaching the swing, and then the right brain part of being able to play and compete or play just for fun. I mean, I think it's all inclusive.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what people, you know, forget is it's great to learn the basics. And you can be a fantastic ball striker and chipper and putter and so on and so forth, but you then have to take what you learn and be able to apply it in a real life situation out on the golf course. And there's a lot of people have what we you know joke about in the business is they've got a great range game, but when it comes out, you know, time to take that game to the golf course, suddenly, you know, a lot of those different areas don't seem to gel together. And I think that's really the coaching side sort of comes out. Now, I'm much like you, Cindy. I believe that you have to be sort of well-rounded in a little of everything. When do you think there's a time that you've sort of taught what you can teach and it's time when to really focus more on the coaching side of things? Do you have any examples that maybe you can think of offhand?
Well, I think you have to be able, you can't just be a range rat and watch them hit balls all the time. I think there's a point where you have to take them on the course and see if they can produce what you've taught them. And I think that's inclusive with anyone at any level, that you need to be able to see if they can really take their game to the course, no matter how good or bad they might be. So once they know how to swing, let's put it this way. I give lessons to people all day long who hit the ball very well with me, and I said, I need you to be very aware of what you're doing right now because you're doing it right. And the minute you go out on the golf course and the wind starts blowing and there's grass, you know, if we've been hitting off the mat and the and people are watching you and this shot means something, everything's going to change, and you need to be very aware of what your brain is saying and doing at this point. So, yeah, that definitely you go from teaching to coaching at that point.
Yeah, and traditionally, you know, in the past, coaches have always you know, been more involved either with some of the teams, again, whether it be collegiate or some of the more accomplished players that need that little extra. But I think everybody, to be honest, I think for a long time, the average golfer has really sort of been overlooked, in my opinion. I think that, you know, we've done a very great job, and that's not everybody, but there's been a very good job, if you will, of teaching the basics and the fundamentals of golf. But I think we really have to now help them to understand how to take that to the golf course, just as you explained here a minute ago, because the conditions change. Wind picks up. The range is really, you're hitting off a perfect lie every time, and you've got really perfect conditions all the time. But once you get out on the golf course, you get those first tee jitters, of course, start to come in. Maybe you've got two or three, you know, if you're on a facility that uses golf carts, which most of the main ones do now, you know, you might have a gaggle of several foursomes in behind you waiting patiently or impatiently in some cases, you know, to make it out there. So that's just, I just wanted to bring that in, you know, Cindy, just to start off while we had a few minutes, because I think it's something that a lot of people don't understand. Is there a difference? And obviously there is a difference to some degree, but it really is something that I think all teachers / coaches, instructors need to have in their bag, if you will.
Well, and I think the other, it's almost like going to med school and then doing a residency. You know, you have to do your residency so you can learn what to do with the patients after you learn about the pieces of the body. You know,
right.
I believe that, you know, you have to be well-rounded as a golf professional or with a student trying to pick who they're going to take lessons from. Needless to say, I think it's a little more effective if they can choose someone who knows how to do all of that.
Right, exactly. And it's good because there is going to come a point when you really can't teach as far, you know, once somebody is hitting the ball, you know, there is only so many, you know, straight golf shots, if you will, and fades and draws and things. So once somebody is able to master on, and I know that's a little bit of a term that really nobody does master it. Some master it maybe better than others.
No, but once you have the technique in place, you have
right.
to be able to use it. And that's
right,
what,
exactly.
That's what we're talking about. Can you take this to the golf course, everything I've taught you, you know, and if you can't, what's happening? And that's more mental, in my opinion. If they don't know what they're doing and they're not aware, they're not able to use what you've taught them. And that usually means there's something else inhibiting that.
Yeah, yeah. And
belief,
that's a lot of
you know.
Right, and that
yeah,
normally.
Yeah, example, my son just got back from playing in the Coleman Invitational Seminole. He just lost 25 pounds. He just got brand new clubs. And, you know, he said every time he tried to hit the driver hard, it went 50 yards right. So, you know, once you do that a couple times, you're like, uh-oh. Well, now
yep.
you're playing, as I call it, with clenched butt cheeks. You know, and you're not letting it rip, so now you're fearful,
yeah.
and you can't play, you know. So
right.
is it, oh, my God, he's got to work on his swing? No, he needs to go make sure his driver's got the right shaft and it was put in correctly. Then he's got to work on his swing or, you know, his game and trusting it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And there's going to be times it doesn't matter what level of play you're at. There's always going to be moments on the golf course when you're not going to be things aren't going to be gelling as smoothly as you'd like, and you have to be willing to, and mentally, that's where you have to be strong, because you have to play with what you have that particular day, because there are going to be days when that's going to happen. As your son has experienced, he's played in a tournament here and struggled a little bit with the driver, and you know, you can't do a lot of swing fixes while you're out in the course. And which brings us to our first guest, Rachel Rahana, of course, is going to be joining us here. She's actually here now. And we're going to talk to her a little bit about, speaking of winners and not, she is, this is her first Symetra Tour win. She won this past weekend at the Guardian Retirement Championship at Sarah Bay, down at the Sarah Bay Country Club in Sarasota, Florida. And we're going to talk to her. She's, of course, a Symetra Tour player. Let me just tell you a little bit about her, and then we'll bring her on the show. She's from Waynesburg, Pennsylvania. She went to and attended Ohio State University, graduated, of course, and had an outstanding college career for the Buckeyes, of course. And she also played on the boys' team prior to that at the Waynesburg High School where she was, of course, recruited by several schools prior to, of course, ultimately choosing OSU. She was twice named to the All Big Ten team in 2009-2010, and again 2011-2012. She was a four-year starter, co-captaining the team in her sophomore year. She won a tournament there and also recorded seven top five finishes and numerous rounds under par. She led the team to two consecutive NCAA championship appearances in 2011 and 2012. And she was twice an academic All-American, and she, of course, was twice named All-Big Ten. A great, accomplished young lady, and we're going to bring her out here this morning on the show, and we're going to talk to her about her win on the Symetra Tour.
Hi,
good morning, Ted. Rachel.
Hi.
Good
How
morning,
are you?
Rachel. We're doing very well. Good morning, and you're on the Women of Golf show with myself and Cindy Miller.
Excellent. Good to hear from you guys.
Well, we're glad
you
that...
You know, I thought your name was familiar. You went to Ohio State. What year did you start there, Rachel?
I started in the fall of 2009.
Very good.
Okay. Very I'm a good friend of Teresa's.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And also, the Rohanna name might be a little familiar. My cousin Robert played on the Big Break this past season.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it did kind of sound a little familiar. How did he make out?
He actually finished third.
Wow,
mm-hmm.
That's very good. It's not easy. That Big Breaks, of course, as you may or may not know, Cindy Miller, of course, was on Big Break as well. So
yes,
and did extremely well. First question I wanted to ask you, which kind of obviously caught my eye. You played at Waynesburg High School, of course, on the boys' team. How did you do while you were there? And then talk a little bit about how your experience at OSU.
Well, my high school experience was obviously pretty fun playing with the guys. I remember my freshman year, we were just trying to recruit anybody to join the team because we almost didn't have enough players actually for a team. So we had a couple football players that decided to switch to the golf team, and I actually became really close friends with all of them. And, you know, my freshman year, my sophomore year, I remember we didn't have the greatest record. But by the time I was a junior, we competed for districts, which in Western Pennsylvania is a pretty big deal. And then my senior year, I was actually fortunate enough to play with my sister. So we were on the boys' team together, and while I was out there trying to beat all of them, she was wearing the short skirts and trying to get everybody's number. So we had a good time, though, and, you know, going to Ohio State is a little bit different, playing with the girls, but,
sure.
You know, we had a great time, and I've made friends for a lifetime. A couple of them I still play with out on the Symetra Tour, so it was been a very good amateur career.
Yeah, now you obviously did, as you mentioned, did very well, and as I read out a little earlier at OSU, you did a really phenomenal career, but obviously we know that you're very excited about this past week winning the Guardian Retirement Championship at Sarah Bay, which was, of course, your first professional win. How does it feel to have one of a tournament like that, have that sort of under your belt, and can you share some of your thoughts about the event?
Yeah, just like any other, you know, sport or even playing golf as an amateur, as soon as you get that first win under your belt, it gives you so much more confidence for the rest of the year and actually just for the rest of my career. And just the way I handled my nerves under pressure those last few holes and, you know, had to sleep on the lead with a two-shot lead with a target on my back. I was, you know, really happy and proud of myself with the way I handled, you know, my game that last day, and I was just excited to come out with that win, and I had celebrated a little bit yesterday, but ready to move on to the next one now.
Let me ask you, what did you do? Do you have any kind of system to help yourself stay in the present moment?
I was listening to you guys speaking about, you know, coaches and instructors and my grandfather's actually my swing coach and my instructor and my coach. And I'm pretty fortunate, like you said, Cindy, to have, you know, it's ideal to have somebody that can do both of them. But at the same time. My whole family is very involved with my golf game, and they're all very involved with golf. So I'm pretty fortunate to have, I feel like, five coaches on my side. So my dad was actually on the bag this past week, and, you know, he kind of kept me in the present moment and kept me going shot by shot and just taking it one at a time. And, you know, he kind of acted like my coach out there, not really my swing instructor, but he was kind of my coach and, you know, told me where, you know, let's stay in the present moment. Let's not try and hit any miraculous shot. If we have to take a bogey, we'll birdie the next one. And that was kind of what helped me going throughout the whole day.
That's perfect. Awesome.
Yeah.
What did you shoot the last round? I'm sorry, I wasn't able to, I didn't see it.
That's okay. I shot two over, but it felt like five under.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Let me just back up for just a quick second, if you don't mind, Rachel, something interesting that I think a lot of people would find, as you mentioned, your father, of course, was on the bag this week, which is extra exciting because, of course, it's your first tournament win. It's nice to have somebody there close to you on there. When you're out there, and obviously he you know, talks to you and things like that, is there times when, you know, not necessarily, it doesn't have to be this tournament, but other tournaments that you've been in where his advice or his guidance out there is extremely beneficial? And what are some of the things that he says when the chips are down to sort of get you re-motivated?
Well, I guess the second day when I shot 66, let me start out with this, it was almost like I was playing so well. I was reading my putts, and he really wasn't. He knew to just kind of stay out of my way, the way I was feeling, hitting it really well, making, you know, like I said, a lot of putts. But then, you know, I was four or five under, and I get to, like, the 14th hole, the 15th hole, and then all of a sudden he starts learning to read my putts. And I said, hey, Dad, you know, I've been doing really well. Let's just, you know, let me continue to read the putts and let me finish out this round. But, you know, that, you know, everything's going to be a learning experience, not just for me, but, you know, for my caddy as well. But other than that, I mean, he did great. He, on that last day, for example, I had a pretty bad lie in the sand trap, and, you know, I was kind of contemplating trying to go for the green. And looking back now, I'm like, I don't even know why I thought about going for the green. It's over a creek. It's on uphill lie, 112 yards out, fluffy sand. I would have had to hit a perfect 6-iron from 112 yards. So, you know, that was a time when he kind of stepped in and said, hey, let's just chip out, hit on, two putt, get out of here. And that's what I did. And, you know, I went on to birdie, well, not birdie, but I guess I went on to make some really good pars on my last few holes. And, you know, just hung in there.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people, I think, always are curious about that sort of caddy. I mean, we hear, you know, a lot about some of the caddies, some of the more notable ones that play, particularly on the men's tour and that. But I always, you know, was curious, and I think there's a lot of people are curious, just that relationship. Obviously, it's your father in this case, but, you know, that sort of relationship between the caddy and the player. When is it the right time to sort of step in, and when do they need to sort of have that sense, if you will, or self-awareness to know when to step back and let you continue on as you did in this round?
Yeah, that's always kind of a tough situation, not just for me, but mostly the caddy, because, like I said, a lot of times I'll be playing really well, and you know, they don't really need to be saying anything, or, you know, they know to just kind of hang back or whatever. But I'm just thinking of one particular time. It was my first U.S. Open, and I think I was two over after 27 holes, and I was playing really well. I was on the leaderboard, and this was, I think it was 2011, so I was still an amateur. And, you know, I make the turn, and I can see my name up there, and all of a sudden, on top of being in Colorado, adrenaline kicks in. So the ball is just flying like 30% farther. So that was a time when my caddy and I were both kind of just, you know, just trying to get the round over with, and I ended up missing the cut by one shot. But that would have been a time where, you know, it would have been good to have, you know, my caddy, although he did an awesome job the entire time. I'm not, you know, saying anything negative, but that's where, you know, maybe I need somebody to step in and say, like, let's just hit a 7-wood off this tee instead of a driver. So things like that, just, you know, for the caddy to be really aware and in the present is most important for me, at least.
Right.
Well, and you know what's funny is that you were able, from all your experience of competing and playing, when you said to your dad, I got this. I've been reading my putts all day. See, you don't learn that unless you experience it
exactly.
prior. And it's funny how a caddy that's really aware and has experience and has been in the heat of the moment will have a little more wisdom to know what to do with you rather than allow your emotions to dictate what they do.
Exactly.
You know, the caddy's really got to stay there. So you're very fortunate to have a dad, you know, because you know he loves you, you know he's on your side, and to have the wisdom, you know, you're very, very fortunate.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, and I think, too, you have to have a good relationship, not obviously as so much just as daughter and parent, but as caddy and player. Otherwise, it makes for an awfully long car ride home, I guess, after the tournament if things don't go well. So,
oh, yeah. Yep.
A very quiet ride indeed. Obviously, there was a point, Rachel, that you were tied up with, I believe it's Juliana Molinaro. What was the turning point, or when was the turning point that you took, I guess, back the lead, if you will, and went on to win? Tell us a little bit about the closing holes.
Well, I guess, like, physically, the turning point might have been when I chipped in on my 15th hole to save par. Mentally, though, I would say, you know, when I woke up that morning, I knew, you know, I just had a good feeling about my game. I told myself no matter what situation I got in, I was going to get out of it. I was going to win that tournament. And, you know, although I was nervous, especially those last few holes, I felt like, you know, my playing competitors also were showing, you know, their nerves as well. So I just told myself just to stay calm and, you know, just like I said, take a bogey, birdie the next hole if you have to. And, but physically I would say that 15th hole, whenever I chipped in, you know, that gave me some momentum. Although I went on to bogey the 16th hole, I had 5-footers on my last two holes to birdie, and walking up, you know, that last green from 5 feet, I knew all I had to do was 3-putt, and so I was just praying not to 4-putt.
Yeah, that would make for a definitely quiet car ride home if you had a 4-putt for sure. Rachel, let me ask you something, and I'm trying to think of the player, and again, of course, this was on the men's side, and I think it might have been Bubba Watson. Cindy, you might know once I say this. Was there a different feeling? The player I'm thinking of talked about after a win that they had, I think it was last year, that they actually didn't even remember what went on that day. It sort of was like a blank. Did you have that kind of feeling at all? Like it was a sort of a calmness that came over you know, throughout the tournament, that you just had that sense, like you said, when you woke up in the morning, you kind of, you know, just had a good feeling in that. Is there a different feeling that you just think, I think I've got this today?
I mean, I definitely can tell, like, you know, on good rounds or, you know, good tournaments where there are times throughout the round where I'm like looking back, I'm like, oh, I'm on hole 14. I don't even remember the last 5 holes.
Right.
And I would say between shots was whenever, you know, I was there and just felt like time was really slow. But when I stood over a shot, when I stood over a putt, I did feel that, you know, calmness come over me, and which was really good. a lot, you know, more relaxing to just, you know, feel confident over a shot. So it wasn't like, you know, I was thinking about my swing at all. I wasn't thinking about my stroke. I don't really, you know, remember having any particular thoughts or swing thoughts that day. But I, you know, at the end of the round, after I tapped in my 1-footer, just kind of like everything just kind of left my body, and I was pretty numb, and it's still just kind of sinking in every time I think about it. You know, finally have that professional win.
Yeah, and that certainly feels very good, I'm sure. So you said that you celebrated yesterday. What'd you do? What was your celebration?
Oh, well, it really wasn't much. My husband and I are actually building a house, and he had told me over the weekend that we had planted a dogwood tree last year, and he said it was blooming. So we went out to check that out yesterday.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, it was really exciting. So
I love
that
dogwood
you,
trees.
Yeah. So we need to plant another one, though. I heard that they have to grow in pairs.
Sure, it needs a partner. So, Rachel, you're on to what's your next event?
The Symetra Tour is in Greenwood, South Carolina, and that is starting next week.
Starting next week. What do you think, Rachel, just about your game in particular? What do you think your strengths are, and what do you think your weaknesses are in the game?
Right now, I would definitely say, I know this last tournament, my putting was, you know, definitely one of my stronger points. At the same time, I'm a longer ball hitter, and you know, you can tell five of the girls in the top six, I think we're all ranked within the top five spots for driving distance. So I think that definitely helped, you know, in this last tournament, being a longer ball hitter. On top of that, you know, I feel very comfortable with my driver. You know, I hit it long, but I do think I keep it in the fairway a lot. And then on top of that, because, you know, of my strength, my driver, I hit my irons pretty long too. So I think that's definitely my strength, just my power. And then weakness-wise, you know, you can always work on that chipping and putting, that short right. game. So I think this past weekend, although my chipping's been really well this whole week or this whole year, chipping is, you know, something I really need to work on going into Greenwood.
Interesting. Cindy, I know that you, of course, Cindy has played in many tournaments as well. And she has obviously a good understanding of what sort of the mindset is. Cindy, just share maybe a little bit, if you will, on what goes through your mind when you're playing out on the tour as far as
Well, I think, when you know you're having a good...
Go ahead.
Rachel, are you competitive?
Oh yes.
Are you quiet and shy?
No, I don't think many people would describe me as quiet and shy.
Okay, so are you the life of the party?
No, I wouldn't really call me that either. I'm just kind of in between. I like to, you know, I like to talk to people, but I wouldn't, like I said, I wouldn't call me the life of the party really either.
Okay. Are you really organized?
Yeah, I'm pretty organized.
Okay. So what was your major in school?
I studied agricultural economics and business.
Okay. So
I would say if I wasn't a professional golfer, I would probably be a salesperson somewhere.
Okay. So what I think, I believe that you may, you know, let me ask you this. What's your biggest struggle staying in the present moment when you're playing?
Let's see. I think, you know, I do sometimes start to worry about, you know, the next shot in front of me too quickly, you know, instead of just taking my time walking up to the ball. You know, I tend to worry, you know, is there a bad lie up there? Do I have a tree in front of me? You know, where am I going to be able to have a good shot into the green to give me an easier putt? I would say that's probably what I am working on the most.
So sometimes it's fear and worry?
I mean, I would say, though, that that's something that I've really worked on, though, in the last 4 years, that, you know, I feel like I've overcome and I've gained a lot of experience just, you know, being in times and situations where I have been, you know, fearful of my next shot. But, you know, I've learned you got to take it and, you know, just hit it and go get it, really.
You know, and you know what? You're absolutely right, because the biggest teacher, I guess you could say, is experience and playing and being in
right.
the situation. The more you're in that situation, the more your brain can say, okay, I've been here before. Don't worry about it. We're all right. We just got to stay in the present moment. And that, again, would be, you know, kudos to your dad for being very aware of that, helping you stay in the present moment. You know, Ted, as far as I'm concerned, I'm super competitive, and
I
tend to try too hard, and I can tend to worry a little bit. I wouldn't be considered the life of the party either, although I do like to have fun. But my biggest issue is going from protect. You know, when I play golf, if I'm trying to protect, I'm done. I must be pursuing.
Right.
Because,
right.
you know, I can't let that voice of, look out, be careful, oh, wow. You know,
yeah.
And uncertainty, doubt, apprehension, all those words, you know, again, that goes back to clenched putt cheeks, and you can't play real well with clenched putt cheeks.
Yeah, yes, yes.
So I think you also need to be very aware of what you're doing with your own game and trust your game.
Yes.
You know, if you're not aware of what you're doing, you know, then you're really not in control and then you don't own it. So
Exactly. And that's, I totally agree. That's one thing that I, you know, I felt like I did well this past week. You know, I told myself that last day, you know, I played pretty aggressive the whole time. You know, when I had to go for the center of the green, give myself a 20 or 30 footer, I did. But I told myself that last day, you know, that got you to where you are now with a 2-shot lead. You know, don't just play scared now, swing confidently. And, cause you're going to make your best swing if you just swing confidently.
Yeah. And that again comes from experience. So we've all blown it. We're all bloody.
Well, fantastic win, Rachel, and we want to thank you for joining us this morning. The winner of the Guardian Retirement Championship at Sarah Bay, and how did you like the course? Obviously, you loved it. You won, but
yeah, it's a tough course. It's a really tough track, but I really enjoyed it.
Well, that certainly makes
congratulations. Wow, we are so excited for you, and we hope you keep doing it. And then next year, we hope you can't talk to us because you're on the LPGA Tour.
I would still love to talk to you.
Okay, good.
Thank you very much.
Well, we appreciate it, Rachel. Thank you, and much continued success, and you're welcome back here anytime.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You too.
You too, honey.
Bye.
Okay, that was Rachel Rahana. She was the winner of this past weekend's Symetra Tour event, the Guardian Retirement Championship at Sarah Bay. And what a great young lady. And you know, you see a pattern when, you know, talking with these girls. They all have that sort of determination and fire and very very focused on their games. They know exactly what they need to do and when they need to do it.
And that's why they compete and play.
That's right.
Which is great.
And they love the competition. We're now getting ready to bring on our next guest, of course, a gentleman that Cindy had set up to come on the show, and a fellow Canadian. We're going to talk a little bit about him, Terry Hashimoto. He is the co-developer of the BodyTrack Golf Pressure Map. But let me tell you just a little bit about him first before we bring him on, and then we'll talk to him about BodyTrack. Terry, of course, as I said, was born in Canada, March 14th, 1958, a little bit older than me. He's a Manitoba Golfer of the Year 3 times and finalist 5 more times over his 22-year span from 76 to 98. And at the age of 40, he was a finalist for the Manitoba Athlete of the Year in recognition for being the only golfer to ever win the Provincial Amateur, Mid-Amateur, and Match Play Championship in the same year. Attended the University of Miami on a golf scholarship and winner of 7 collegiate events from 76 to 1980. Played professional golf from 86 to 88, finishing 17th on the Order of Merit in 88, despite playing less than half of the events in that particular year. He opened Manitoba's first golf store in 1981 called the Caddy Shed, and in 1991 was the founder of Jazz Golf, Canada's largest golf manufacturer, from 95 to 2005, taking the company public in 2000. In 2013, Terry went on to work with Patentec Vista, I'm assuming I'm correcting that or pronouncing that correctly, and was the developer of the world's first portable golf pressure mapping device called BodyTrack. So without any further hesitation, let's bring out our guest, Terry Hashimoto.
Good morning,
Hello,
Terry.
Hey, Cindy, how are you doing? Good, how are you?
I'm doing very well. I hear that Canadian accent already coming into play. How are you doing?
It's not so bad when I drink, but right now I'm normal, so it's all good.
Very good. Well, listen, before we get into too many questions here, Terry, I wanted to read something that was actually, I got off the website that was somebody that's a big proponent of BodyTrack. Of course, we all know Mr. Jim McLean. I'm going to read a short little snippet from his forward, and then we've got a couple of questions here, of course, that we want to ask you about that. And Jim in the forward wrote this. He said, "Hitting a perfect shot dead down the middle of the fairway and on the dead center of the club face is so simple that a 7-year-old girl can do it nearly every time. How can anything so complex as the golf swing be that simple? It baffles the mind. Golf lends itself to analysis and many far-out methods to improve. Golfers are so desperate for help that they will try almost anything, often the more complicated the better. Yet greatness resides within intuition and in golf technique that can be repeated. So, and questions that followed that were the following. Why do some people hit the ball so effortlessly, and how do some people hit the ball so far? So, Terry, those are the first two questions that, we want to ask you this morning. Maybe you can explain a little bit about that, and then we'll talk about body track.
Well, Jim McLean was one of the first early adopters to use golf pressure mapping in an academic basis through his golf academies, first in Miami, and then throughout his entire chain and organization. So we're very thankful to Jim. But what Jim's referring to, I believe, is the effective energy transfer between the 2 feet. And, you know, Jim's been a big proponent of the kinematic sequence. And, in fact, he's trying to, he is rewriting how that kinematic sequence will occur. We think it's from the foot up, from the ground up. And Jim's have been doing a lot of research in this area. And I've been blessed to have the ability to work with him. And, you know, it's great because I met Cindy when I was down at University of Miami. And for us to go to Doral, it was part of our, you know, once a week we'd go there, or once every 2 weeks they'd allow us to come there and play. So I feel very comfortable there. I've been blessed to have been working with Jim and their team down at Doral. And to be honest with you, what body track is, it's an 8-pound portable pressure mat, and what we measure is the conductivity of the energy between the 2 feet. Very simple device. We measure weight moving front to back and side to side. And what Jim's talking about is how effortlessly some young people will just stand on the mat, take a swing, and you'll see that energy being transferred very efficiently. And that's exactly what he's referring to.
Very interesting. Why is it so important to know that? What benefit does it have to both the individual and obviously the golfer or coach?
Well, it's what's amazing is that I think winning is easy. Just copy what the winners are doing. And we spend a lot of time on the tour with a bunch of our tour coaches. The first one was Scott Hamilton, and he's been very active in supporting us. And we were able to look at common denominators. What pressure does the pro average set up with an iron, and how does that vary with a driver? What's their average pressure at the top of their swing, or what we refer to as transition? And what's their average pressure reading at impact? And it turns out there are some very definite standards, regardless of what swing type you use. Doesn't matter whether you're whatever format that you're interested in learning to use. Those key pressures are to hit the ball well are exactly the same for all those different methods. So Jim with and others, we came to the conclusion that if we can just replicate that with a golfer, they're likely to hit the ball in a more efficient manner. And it's funny because Jim had asked me to read a book that was written by David Lee called Gravity Golf. And when I was hooking up with Cindy at Orange County National, David Lee was just giving a lesson just in front of where Cindy was going to be teaching her students. So we were talking.
That's so random.
How random is that? Do you remember that, Cindy?
Yes, I do.
And Dave talks a lot about counterbalance, where you know your arms are heavy, they weigh 30
right.
pounds approximately, and if you throw your 30 pound weight in front of you, what's your body got to do to offset that pressure? And we see that directly with the body track pressure mat. And Scott Hamilton was the first guy to really point out to us that really your pressure trace follows your club path. So that got us very excited because now we integrate to launch. We work with FlightScope exclusively right now. And we can show you how your swing path, if it's correct, will zero out when your trace is what we call linear or just straight back and straight through. It's a very, very simple device, very effective, provides biofeedback for all your students. And Cindy was one of the first lady pros to ever use this, her and a lady named Ann King. And I'll tell you what, we really appreciate it, and I know it's going to help the ladies out a lot because a lot of ladies can benefit from distance gain, and that's one of the things that knowing where your pressure is at the right time will really help you do.
Fantastic. Cindy, share a little bit about your experience with body track.
Well, you know, it's so funny because I never thought of my feet before. And when Terry put me on it, and I saw that I was 98% of my weight was going to my right foot on my backswing,
right.
And the tour average I think is 77, and And again, you're not aware of what you're doing, but I try so hard, and I was trying to move because I thought I needed to hit it further, when really I was moving way too much. And then all my weight was going to my left toe as I was coming through, and he said, you know, that's natural and normal for somebody my size who's trying to pound the crap out of it. And so, you know, I think the main thing was a major awareness of what you're doing is not what you need to do, and it's not efficient, and it's not working, so stop. And it's really helped me get better with less work.
It's funny because her husband, Adam Miller, when they were starting to use it, he sent me his trace just to take a look at, and he was just joking around and saying, look, I'm sending you an old guy's trace. But the truth was, Alan's trace was linear. It was almost like, you know, exactly what you want.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So, and again, and he, you know, as Carrie said, it's not the swing theory. It's what good players do with their pressure in their body and in their feet. And it doesn't matter what theory you believe in. There's seven main traces of really good players.
Exactly. And the I just posted on our Facebook site today on Body Track Facebook, Ted Shaftick was one of our pioneers in helping us, allowing us to go out into the field. We spent 2.5 years, Ted, just going out with golf pros and learning how to use Body Track. I mean, pressure mapping's not new. You could have bought an MTI force plate 10 years ago and paid $25,000. What's new is that our device is portable and it's inexpensive. It's cheap. And it's because of the material that we use to make the pressure mat. It's revolutionary. It's called Centra Fabric. And it was developed by this patient, Tech Vista. It's a U.S.-Canadian company. The plant's in Winnipeg, where we manufacture the mats in Winnipeg, Manitoba. But it's a U.S. company. And what's really cool is that now, because it's portable and not expensive, we can actually go out into the field, take it out onto the tee deck with Cindy and some of her colleagues, and we can record the traces. And, you know, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a smart guy. But what I am is I see common denominators like we all do. And winning, like I say, is easy. Just copy what the winners do. And, you know, we did this with Cindy Stewart, and she allowed me to go out there on the practice day at Orange County National. And it's amazing. The feedback that they get by seeing where their weight is at key distribution points, it changes the way they think about the swing and takes all the pressure out of thinking about where your hands are. So I think it's a game changer, and already we have about 1,000 units out there in the market today. And, you know, the tour coaches are coming on board like crazy. We've got about 14 right now. And some of the, you know, major coaches in Canada, the United States, Chris Foley, men's junior coach, Derek Ingram, Canada's national coach, and so on. It's just fantastic.
And you know, a lot of people, including Jack Nicklaus, always talked about really that the golf swing starts from the ground up. And it, as Cindy alluded to earlier, you know, the importance of good footwork in that. Is this an area that I think a lot of players, and I'm not talking the top players, but your amateurs, your high handicappers, that they don't understand? And this is obviously something that's going to be able to help them to understand what they need to be doing a little bit differently.
Well, I think it's due to the pioneering work that the great instructors like Cindy is doing. And yes, the answer is yes. You know, look, when I learned how to play golf, it was, you know, it was all about hands pull the arms, arms pull the shoulders pull the hips, and hips pull the legs for your backswing. Reverse that for your downswing. I mean, I was a student of Toski and Venturi. We had great instructors. And, you know, they talked a little bit about the footwork, but there was no tool to measure it. Now we're simply giving them a ruler and a way to measure it. And, you know, these great instructors, they know this is correct. So it's not us. We're not doing anything. All we're doing is providing the tool that the instructors can all benefit from. And I think every great player knows this, is that you can't start your – if you try to start your backswing without moving your feet, just keep them planted firmly in the ground, you don't have any power. You're not generating any power. And then, you know, with Tiger Woods and Como, they got involved. And, you know, he might have pushed the limits beyond where we can understand right now, but we're going to get there. And understanding – well, the ground forces, that it starts from the ground up, I think, is an old formula that we can begin now to demonstrate because of the technology ready. Technology is finally here to be able to substantiate that data.
And how easy is it to use the body track? I mean, obviously we don't have the benefit on audio here to really show it, but
right.
For an instructor, if they purchase this to use in their facility, how easy is it for them to use? And can they communicate the data, as I think you alluded to earlier, that Alan had done to their students and to others in the industry that they want to share that information with? How does it work?
Well,
simple.
I'm gonna...
Let Terry explain that. Very simple.
It's a simple device. We measure weight moving front in two directions, front to back, heel to toe, which is it, and laterally side to side. We're going to have an online educational platform for level one. We're working currently with TPI. Dave Phillips and Greg Rose have been phenomenal to us. Mark Blackburn, Lance, and all the guys there at TPI have been amazing. John Thorpe, the head of operations for BodyTrack, has been developing that relationship. We're working with major OEMs right now. And then, I'm going to defer to Cindy on this. Cindy, you got the mat and you took it back to Buffalo. And how long did it take you to get it to use it properly?
5 minutes.
Exactly.
Really?
It's a matter of turning it on.
It's simple.
It's simple. But what's really, really cool, and I love this, and I apologize for being as passionate as I am. It just finally allows the golf pro to be a golf pro. You're teaching the student proper footwork. I mean, golf is very much a speed game, and you got to have that speed at the right place at the right time. And because we can illustrate that, people who aren't big and strong can still hit the ball a long way. You don't have to just get up there and rip it and tighten up those muscles. We just got to get the right pressure at the right place at the right time. And I'm assuring you, you're going to get distance gain, and you're going to get accuracy, and those two things don't normally go hand in hand.
What's some of the common things, Cindy mentioned the seven traces of golf. What are some of the and obviously we may not have time to go through all of them, but is there, what's the main difference between what you're seeing with some of the better players and some of the worst players? Can you describe a little bit about that?
Absolutely.
You're seeing the patterns?
Absolutely. If you go to bodytracksports.com, it's BODITRAK sports.com. We post those seven traces. The worst trace we see is what we call the scattered trace. That means the weight's moving all over the place during the swing. You can be moving front to back, side to side, all over. And the easiest drill to fix that was the first guy to do this for me was Ted Sheftick. He simply lifts the left foot up off the ground, gets the golfer to step down hard towards the downswing, and it straightens out the trace. And then once we straighten out the trace, we work on keeping the weight within the 2 feet, keeping your proper balance, and that's really what we measure is balance. And we show this very simply in those seven traces. And, Cindy's been using this now for several months, and she sent me lots of examples already where she's got her golfers who have the scattered trace. She merely gets them to do a knockdown shot, an off-speed shot, and then the crush-to-can drill. It cleans up the trace immediately. It's effective. And they leave that dome or their driving range or their facility with a lot of biofeedback and a lot better results, and we're seeing that constantly.
And Cindy, just maybe talk a little bit more about some of the things that you've been able to accomplish with this with some of your students.
You know what it is, Ted? It's the awareness. People are not aware of what they're doing. And it's a different – to be able to swing the club right, you have to be aware of your body. And your subconscious mind, or mine, I can only use myself, is trying so hard to do so well, and I'm not using my body effectively. Therefore, I'm wasting energy. And so it's never been able to be measured before. But it's right there in living color on a screen in front of you. And so that's the biggest deal. I've got students that just want to come in and hit balls and practice with body track because they want to sit there and watch it themselves. I don't even need to talk. They can just sit there and practice.
Wow.
Well, I have a hard concept. It's a hard notion for me to understand Cindy not talking a lot. It's kind of like, not talking a lot. But the truth is, the first thing that we do that we learned was that when you put the student on the body track, just watch them watch the feedback. They get it.
Yeah.
And what's really cool is that all the instructor has to do is show them where to put the weight at the right time, the right pressure at the right place. And it really has an impact on the student, and it has what I love about this, Ted, I really feel that this is going to help make golf easier to learn. And I'm not about trying, it's not just about distance gain. We want to make the game as fun and fast to learn as possible so that we can help keep the kids that are trying to learn how to play interested. And that's what I think body tracking technology can do.
Do you think, Terry, that this is going to be something, and let me sort of preface this, you know, there's a lot of great technology out there, but I think one of the things that has confused a lot of golfers, maybe not so much the professional, even some of the professionals I've had some feedback from, but a lot of the technology out there focuses on the numbers, spin rates, you know, launch angles and things like that, which is good information for the instructor, but it doesn't necessarily always mean a lot to the players out there, certainly the amateur players. Do you think that this particular technology that offering is going to give a clearer picture and better understanding to the golfer than maybe some of the other stuff that's out there?
First of all, I'm a big pro. I love launch because it's interesting data, but it's like the stats on a baseball game. It's after the fact. What's really cool is that if you put your weight into the right place, and Scott Hamilton and John Tillery and Troy Denton were the first tour coaches to send me data without even the video. There was no video. They wanted to see if I could be able to help them without looking at the swing. And we could, because you can't see the micro moves that we capture and measure with body track on video. I like video. It supports the pressure, but you need to have both if you want to do this in an effective manner, because people are still used to looking at video. We're never going to change that in our generation. But what we can do is we can show them the micro moves that they cannot see and get them to quantify feel. And Ted, if I say one thing I hope you believe, is that we can now take that data that they see on that screen and they're beginning to quantify feel. And I always said the first guy to quantify feel wins the race. So my answer is yes, this is a game changer. It's for real. You'll see it all over the TV stations in the future. I know the Golf Channel is going to have tons of this out there. And, you know, it's for real. It's not me just yapping. It's for real.
I hear you. It would be interesting to see, just as an experiment, obviously, you know, there's a lot of great golf swings out there today. It would be interesting to get some of the golfers that maybe don't necessarily have a picture-perfect swing to see how they map out, like a Jim Furyk, for, you know, as an example, comes to mind, who certainly has a very solid swing, but it's not what you would classify as your traditional-looking swing by some people's standards, or even a Lee Trevino. It'd be interesting to see how theirs maps out in comparison to some of the more picture-perfect swings, because I think people would be surprised at how well their footwork would come out, despite the oddities in their swings.
I totally agree. In fact, I asked Scott and John Tillery to see if they could get me Fred's trace. We wouldn't abuse it for publicity. And if Mr. Furyk is listening, I'd love to get his trace, because I'm pretty sure he's got perfect balance during his swing, and I bet he has a lateral or linear trace. I mean, you know, the guy is incredible. And that swing doesn't show his balance, and I'm guaranteeing you that his balance is perfect.
Yeah, it just very interesting product, and I'm sure that you're going to do extremely well with it. Cindy, any closing thoughts?
No, I just want to thank Terry for contacting me and helping me to learn more about body track, because it really is an amazing tool, and it's definitely helping my students, and it's helping me as well.
Thank you guys very much. Thank you, Cindy, and thank you, Ted. Appreciate it.
Not a problem. Thank you, Terry, for sharing this with us this morning. And very interesting product. And I'm sure we're going to see a lot of, as you said, a lot of great things in the future with it. And much continued success. And as one Canadian to another, I hope that the snow has all melted up there and you're actually able to get out and enjoy some golf here.
We're stuck behind the eight ball. It's snowing today in Prince Edward Island, but I guarantee you, if people come out to visit us in PEI, there's some great courses here.
Yeah, fantastic. Love PEI. Terry, thank you very much again for joining us this morning. We appreciate your time, and as I said, much continued success. Thanks for joining Cindy and I this morning.
Thanks so much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Very interesting, Cindy, just have a moment or two here, but very interesting product. And just, again, to get your sort of closing thoughts on it here, you really like this product, don't you?
I do. And you know what? I got to tell you, I was very skeptical, and I was like, yeah, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
And he's like, no. And he met me out at Orange County when I was doing my junior boot camp, and he did my trace, which I was horrified. And then I went out and played with these kids and really hit the ball way better. So it's like he just said, the biggest thing he just said is you're quantifying steel, and we've never been able to do that.
Yeah.
And that is invaluable.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be interesting to see how things play out, and I think he's right, and you as well. I think you're going to see some great things with BodyTrack. Well, we want to thank our both of our special guests today, Rachel Rahana from the Smetra Tour. Congratulations again on your first win, the Guardian Retirement Championship at Sarah Bay. Thank you, Rachel, for joining us this morning and sharing a little bit about your experience on the golf course and about your win, of course. And Terry Hashimoto from BodyTrack, thank you for sharing some time with us as well about a fascinating product. And we didn't give him an opportunity. So did you happen to know offhand the website for BodyTrack?
I think it's
BodyTrack.com. Yeah,
if you Google BodyTrack, you'll find it.
Yeah, it's BodyTrack.com. Go and check it out, and I'm sure you're going to be impressed with what you see. I certainly am by what I've heard here this morning, and I'm going to look a little more intently into it as well. I'm curious to see what my trace would be. But Cindy and I want to take this opportunity to thank, again, our special guest for joining us and all of the listeners around the world for tuning into the broadcast each and every week. Don't forget, we're here every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time here on blogtalkradio.com. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/womenofgolf, and you will get us there, or you can find us through iTunes under the podcast section. Just go to iTunes.com, search under podcasts, Women of Golf, and you will get there. Cindy, thank you again for the logo. Great job. We will see you back here next week, right here on the Women of Golf Show. Thanks, and have a great week, everybody. Thanks, Cindy.
Bye-bye. Yep.
All right.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.